Saul Trujillo, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you. We're back, baby.
We're back in the basement. Comedy Store Records, Comedy Store Podcast. Tony Gidley in the booth. What's up, buddy?
Hit him up.
We're going to go, we're just going to head straight in this one. We got a fun one right now. This one's all about a notorious gang leader and member of his enterprise convicted on racketeering charges in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Three members of a violent criminal gang were convicted today in the U.S. Virgin Islands by a federal jury for RICO conspiracy, murder, attempted murder, robbery, and drug dealing. Great five to start with, right?
Yeah.
That guy just hit like he hit for the cycle.
I mean, RICO conspiracy. Everything's just run under RICO, right?
It does seem everything I look up now is now under RICO.
Right. It's just murder. I was like, yeah. Why even add the rest of it?
Yeah, just put. I mean, it's kind of fun, you know. You got to give all of his credits.
Yeah. He's like, no, this is a non-RICO related murder. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
It's not like you can't just be like, hey, have you seen this comedian on TV? You're like, no, you've seen him on TV, and you've seen on This Fool and NBC's SNL.
Credit specific.
You got to get credit specific. I feel like the Virgin Islands are a great place to run a gang. You know, like who wants to be in Chicago when you could run a beachside gang? Saul.
Just imagine it's a phone call with a pina colada in your hand. Just like, yeah, whack them all. And then you take a little sip from your pina colada.
But you take his head and you send it to his wife and you murder his children. Can I get two more pina coladas, please?
Can I get some mussels, please? Yeah. Just ordering mussels all beachside with a Gabriel Iglesias shirt on.
Oh. Saul, name the top five places you'd want to start a gang.
Probably Hawaii. Really
Hawaii
go in there.
Be
the new Howley guy because you're not native. Really lean into that.
Yeah, have to get a strong tan.
Probably blend in as a Samoan as well. You know, that's one of the little ones.
Yeah, a lot of brothers.
Yeah. And then I would, oh man.
Doesn't have to be five. You can go two or three.
Okay, I'll go. The next one, it's for me or very, very hot, tropical, or very cold. Mm. Like I wouldn't mind like a Norway or some shit.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. Cause you're not gonna come get me, it's all snowy and icy.
You would stand out in Norway though.
That guy sells drugs.
That guy is not tall, weird, and blonde.
I dress like a drug dealer too while I'm in Norway.
I would go probably. I think tropical would be fun, you know? But it does seem every tropical place does have a very creepy crime thing going on.
Well, elaborate. What do you mean?
Mazatlan, Cabo San Lucas.
Oh.
You know, Puerto Rico.
No one ever talks about, like, the people that are for that, though. Yeah. Like, when you go to Mazatlan, they're the tiny people, like, they're like, God bless the cartel. Because they bring it, they're like, yeah, I guess, you know, they don't talk about this. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're getting money on.
Yeah.
Gerard ordered shootings against rival gang members as well as individuals he believed had stolen or otherwise disrespected the gang. Gerard planned and his crew executed several armed robberies, including the D.V. Rensin Casino in St. Croix, as well as Gems and Gold Corners Jewelry Store, Signature Jewelry, and 3G's Jewelry and Repair located in St. Thomas. I feel like everywhere this guy worked was a stop on a carnival cruise.
I bought commemorative cups here.
Most of the criminal activity was orchestrated by Gerard from prison, where he's currently serving sentences for multiple prior criminal convictions. You know, that one is always that. It's amazing the length that people can get to you from prison. You know, because it's almost like if you were like away and your parents were telling you to clean your room.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be like, fuck, one of my uncles is going to come check on me. I'd just be like, fuck you. You're not going to get me. But they'll get you.
They will get you. They get you every time. You want me to read the rest?
Sure, read the rest. Yeah.
According to evidence presented at trial, Tyler Eugene, a.k.a. Luke, 24, of St. Croix, committed acts of violence on behalf of the gang, including murdering a rival gang member outside of a convenience store at Gerard's direction. Kareem Harry, a.k.a. Crumble, 34, of St. Croix, committed acts of violence on behalf of the gang, including participating in the murder of a victim who was believed to have stolen money from the Gerard gang. Harry also set up the shooting death of a rival gang member outside of the victim's child's daycare. Ooh. Holy shit. That's when you don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Do it when they're handing out orange slices. It's fucked up.
Make sure you kill his son right in between sips of Capri Suns. Hey, can I get two more Tommy Bahama shirts?
Just still ordering at the beach. Hits at a daycare.
Give me more more conch fritters, make sure you rape his wife.
Please ceviche, make that coming out extra cold. I gotta order this daycare murder. Seven additional defendants indicted in the same case have already pleaded guilty to various racketeering charges. The case was investigated by the FBI and Virgin Island Police Department. That just sounds like a record company.
Virgin Island Police Department. It's the only pro rap group with songs such as Blue Line to the Ocean.
Margarita in Heaven or some stupid.
Margaritaville in Cell Block 4.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one. This one is a fun one. Maniac Machete. Nope, let me redo that one.
Oh, I mean, you're a maniac. You got a machete. Yeah. If there's no sugar cane around, you're a maniac with a machete.
Yeah. Actually, just keep it in. Yeah, no one. If you're walking with a machete, you're not like, that guy seems cool and level-headed.
Come in the house real quick.
Come on real quick. You need to sharpen that? Let me call my Tommy Bahama guy in St. Croix. Machete maniac attacks manager of Long Island Dick's Sporting Goods.
Whoa.
New details emerge in the Long Island Dick's Sporting Goods machete attack. Motive? Mystifies by Pai Xing Chang. This was in August 29th, 2022. Charges were upgraded Monday against a man accused of attacking three people with a machete at Dick's Sporting Goods on Long Island. Question of the day, did he buy the machete at Dick's or did he bring it from home?
The whole time I was thinking it. Like, he buys it out, he checks it out, he's like, I'll be right back. Goes in the car, I got a machete now. So do the rest of the Dick's employees.
He's like, which one of these looks sharper? Come here, let me see what we put against your head. Not that one. Not the next one.
Yeah.
The attack on August 12th left a store manager seriously injured, still having not regained use of both arms more than 2 weeks later.
Jesus.
Yeesh. Officials said the victim suffered a fractured skull and severed tendons in his arms. Fuck, he got hacked.
Can you imagine the feeling of, machete going, I can't even, it makes my wrist tingle a little bit. That's awful.
Yeah, the first time where you're like, is that my arm on the floor? And then he like picks it and tries to stock it.
Well, that's the thing. If it's a stock machete, those things aren't that sharp.
No.
I purchased them. I purchased one.
Yeah.
And then they are very not sharp. You got to sharpen those so that it's four hacks will take your arm off. Not a full clean one.
No, it's definitely not a samurai sword.
No.
It's not cutting through much. You're hacking it. This is a good question. Okay, what is your at-home self-defense? Mine, I have a mini bat and a machete. And my kind of idea is I hit you with the machete and I use the mini bat to hammer it in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got? What's your
difference? We have two pepper sprays at the house. Nice. Pepper gels, and then I also have specific kitchen knives that I'm like, this is the at-home defense kitchen knife,
yeah.
Not the one we use for cutting tomatoes.
This is for picking toenails and killing people.
Where are we at?
Cameras inside.
Oh, cameras inside the Dick's Sporting Goods in Patrogue captured the movements of Travius Tonstall as he allegedly attacked the store manager and two others after attempting to purchase a gun at the store. You won't give me a gun, get machete.
I'm gonna show you. You think one of them could have got the gun to defend themselves with?
You think at a sporting goods store, they'd have something to defend themselves
for
with.
For sure.
Give them something.
The manager's like, grab the shotgun. The employee's like, I got to do a background check. It'll take at least 2 weeks. Hold on, I got a question.
Well, go.
What do you think Travius Tunstall looks like?
Oh, that is, I'm going to go light-skinned black guy.
Okay.
I think.
I mean, he definitely sounds like the starting left tackle for the New York Jets.
Yeah, who got injured? Attack?
Yeah, Travius Tunstall got injured from a machete accident. He will not be participating this week's game.
Tunstall is accused of visiting the store earlier where he purchased the machete. He did buy it there. He bought it there.
I know. So crazy.
If you are a store that sells machetes, I gotta remember your face.
No, it's an earlier store.
Oh,
a different
store?
Yeah.
Okay, good way to cover your tracks, I guess.
A little bit weird, though, right? It's like, does this guy also go get a croissant sandwich from BK before his McGriddle? Like, just get it at one place.
No, they're like, they know I got it here. I'll be suspect number one.
Sowell, if you're going to bang two meals from two different fast food places, what are they going to be?
It's gonna be the
one item too, not like a whole
crunch
thing.
Wrap from Taco Bell.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a big fan of that because you get all of it one cylindrical sandwich.
Yeah.
And then I would go. I would go these the famous star from Carl's Jr.
You know what, dude? People don't put enough respect on Carl's Jr.'s name.
They don't. It's expensive. That's why. People say that it's expensive. I don't think it's that expensive.
I don't
expensive.
Think it's that expensive.
Yeah, their fries are trash. Their fries are trash.
But they have the Criss Cuts.
The Criss, you got to go Criss Cuts up all day.
And the zucchinis.
I've He's gone like, bringing them in. He's like, don't you forget about his posse.
Now, no one's ever said hit up a green burrito. Like, those words have never been, you're a green burrito guy?
No, here's the thing. Sometimes, I got a random quesadilla from Green Burrito. I'll see what they're about. Because Green Burrito is like the guy who sleeps on Carl's Jr.'s couch. You know what I mean? He's not really living there, but he's on the same. He's like, and Green Burrito, huh, Carl? They're like, sure.
Carl brought Green Burrito to the party again. I make Mexican food. Sure you do. No one's ever had it.
The quesadilla is not bad. The quesadilla is not bad.
Yeah, it's probably okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with, I'm not sure this is fast food, but I think it is. I'm going to go In-N-Out Burger. My order would be double-double, no cheese, well-done bun, grilled onion, as many humanly peppers as you can put on it. And
humanly peppers, dude.
Because they only put two. I've tried them to put three.
You want 78, though.
I want the meat to pepper ratio to be about 50-50.
Could you actually get peppers? You could actually, you could get the peppers chopped up and put in there.
Yeah, but every time you eat, that's what I get.
Oh, you get them chopped up.
But they only put a small layer, and every time I'm like, fuck me up, bro. Ruin my day.
Make this a crime.
I want I could send a letter to corporate.
All right.
I want that, and I'm going to go one thing of orange chicken.
Well, Tunstall, prosecutors say he inquired about purchasing a rifle, but turned violent after employees started to run a background check on the man, which. Store footage shows the man swinging the machete at the manager, refusing to let up even after the employee falls to the ground. He kept going. On his way to the store, Tunstall is accused of attacking two others and trying to steal a kid's bike before fleeing on foot.
Fucking menace.
Man.
It's like, I can see past the chopping up other humans with the machete.
Yeah.
But stealing a kid's bike, give this man the death penalty.
Don't take that kid's mongoose. That's not fair.
Saul, what's the best thing you ever stole?
The best thing I ever stole was probably a bike. I mean, I'm from the hood.
From a person or a place?
It was from a place. It was like somebody's yard. It was a nice bike.
Oh, okay.
I think I ended up selling it. I don't remember what I did. But yeah, ended up selling it. It was a really nice bike.
I was never a big actual stealing guy. I mean, I will fuck up a store. I do not care about a store. You can steal it.
Well, mom and pop stores. But like a Walmart?
Yeah,
steal
Walmart.
From a Walmart.
Take it.
That's legal.
Yeah, it's legal. Those are kind of like, I feel like stealing from big chains should be like steroids in the 90s baseball.
Yeah.
Like if you don't get caught, it should be legal. You can't go back in time and get someone in trouble.
Oh, I forgot the watermelon under my cart. I forgot the 48 bottles of water. That's my bad.
I do love hiding some shit. I always put the most expensive stuff under the cart in hoping that the person working at the Walmart is on their 3-day meth bender and they're just going
to
let it go.
What's the most interesting way you've stolen something? Like I used to put something expensive in cereal boxes and then tape the cereal boxes back up.
That's pretty good. My move would go to, I used to go to these outlets, clothing outlets in Vacaville, California. And I would go to Nike and I would buy one pack of socks, but I would ask for their biggest bag. And you know, like when you go to get one of those nice bags that kind of stand, it's almost like half bag, half cardboard box.
Oh, that's like, it's like you've been shopping all day. You've been spending money bag.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I get one of those. Then I would go normally to Burberry. And I would look at their sale rack because they don't have tags on there. And I'd put the bag underneath. And anything I want, you just flick it off, fall straight in the bag.
Whoa.
Then you keep going, false, flip stick. So I'd pretty much go through everything, look through and see what one had a thing. If it didn't have it, flick it off, fall in the bag, get out of there. I literally, in high school, I went to school wearing like pure Burberry that I'd stolen. And I was.
Steve's doing good.
Yeah,
huh?
I looked like I was
professional.
Doing very well.
You're you're all 17.
Just
shit.
Like in a jacket that's like $3,500 more than the teacher makes in a month.
Just in a full wool coat. It's all fucking.
Trying to play kickball as I get my tassels in the back.
Arrested shortly after the attack on the assault and weapon charges, Tunstall is now facing charges of attempted murder after Monday's arraignment. His bail is set to $1 million cash.
Ain't no man with a machete got $1 million bucks.
No way. But can I Venmo that for him? You got Cash App? What are we doing? It's been more than 2 weeks since the bizarre attack, and prosecutors are still trying to understand why Tunstall wanted the weapons and what prompted his violence. He's due back in court next month.
All right, so I have a video I wanted to put in. And watch it. We get to watch the attack and what the guy looks like and everything right now. Given the unprovoked nature of it. Without words, is the DA Tunstall seen wielding a machete? Oh,
shit, dude. Oh.
Oh, he got a knife, too.
I mean, machete's doing most of the work. Whoa. If there's anything he could help him with. And then, without provocation, he just began attacking. An indictment unsealed now upgrades charges to attempted murder. I just have no comment. Oh!
Jesus Christ! Double cast! Someone sharpie that man. Hope to get soon better. Have a good summer, Saul. Sorry about the
Do
machete
ligaments
attack.
Ligaments regrow? Question mark.
Ha ha. JK.
That sucks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is a fucking
She got attacked
keeper.
By a machete, too.
Yeah, she got the life sucked out of her from a fucking demon.
God damn. Well, what's like a weapon, though? They're like, no, you know you can't have a slingshot, buddy. You can't have nothing.
I know. That's it. Like, what's the lowest weapon that you would give a pretty terrible criminal? I would go, baseball bat? That's still pretty good.
I'll give him that little Mexican game that you're allowed to throw the ball in the cup. That's about as much as you can. If you could hurt somebody with that.
They deserve it.
They deserve it.
Get rid of the ball in the cup.
You can't get rid of that, dude.
Then you don't deserve to live. This guy seemed pretty stoked about his machete purchase. What was one of the favorite things that you've ever bought?
My most favorite thing was probably a BB gun. That was fun. Shooting cans great. With it and shit.
Yeah,
I bought it at the flea market, too, used. It wasn't like a brand new one. It was like an old Mexican guy, like, you want a BB gun?
You're like, why did someone scratch the serial number off this BB gun?
Unaccounted for cans, dude.
Mine, I probably bought my car. I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, it's a good purchase.
All right. Up next. Woman charged with trying to buy another woman's baby in a Walmart self-checkout line.
Trying to scan it, dude? Trying to fake scan? I didn't hear the beep on that shit.
Rebecca Lynette Taylor is accused of offering another woman shopper up to $500,000 to purchase her baby by Gina Tron. Whoa. First off, who's buying a baby from Walmart? At least get a Target baby.
Because we know, dude, the Target babies, most of them are white Target.
Yeah, they're
a little better.
A
little more expensive.
The Walmart one's got normally a lazy eye.
Sticky. It's on the floor, dude.
The sticky baby. They come in a bin like the fucking shoes. Saul, you're in the market for a baby. What's the worst place to buy one?
What is the worst? Dee-Dee's Discount.
Dee-Dee's Discount.
Dee-Dee's Discount's give out Down Syndrome babies.
You're going to buy them piece by piece.
You gotta look at a Dee Dee Discount baby like, that outfit ain't right, man. That shit ain't put together.
Oh, I'm gonna go Marshall's TJ Maxx because you just got a baby with one arm shorter than the other.
A regular size baby.
I don't even want to get into this one, how sick it'd be, but a Big Lots baby. That's
a Big Lots baby because that baby doesn't even know what it is.
No,
like,
it's
you sell couches or Cheeto Puffs? Which one?
Discontinued Cheeto Puff. Like, damn, Goldfish made Cheeto Puffs? We got it in that Big Lot. A Texas woman is accused of trying to buy another woman's baby for hundreds of thousands of dollars while online at a Walmart self-checkout. Number one, ain't nobody in a Walmart self-checkout got hundreds of thousands of dollars. She's got $50 and a coupon for Hormel's chili.
I love that, though. She's got a coupon for Hormel. Like, just buy the
goddamn chili.
You can buy it at full price. It's something else, baby.
Trying to buy a fucking baby with a coupon.
Rebecca Lynette Taylor, 49, was arrested on Jan 18th and charged with the offense of sale or purchase of a child in connection with an incident that allegedly occurred 5 days prior, according to a Crockett Police Department probable cause statement obtained by local outlet The Messenger. On January 13th, the mother claimed that Taylor allegedly approached her as she was waiting to scan items in a self-checkout. She claimed that Taylor began commenting on her son's blonde hair and blue eyes before asking, how much could she purchase him for?
That's real creep mood. That's real creep mood. Because if that were a guy, you'd be like, you're looking at that kid like a burrito, man. Yeah. Get out of here.
It's ew. Not, you're not. She like thinks that people get babies like they buy puppies.
I'm not from here. You know, you can't just buy whatever I want.
No. They do this over in the next county. On January 13th, the mother claimed that Taylor allegedly approached her as she was waiting to scan items. Oh, I already said that one. Sorry, but
No.
You can start when the mother laughs, if you want.
You know what I mean? Okay. When the mother laughed over the question, assuming it was a joke, Taylor allegedly told her that she had $250,000 in the car and she would pay that much for him.
Oof. I mean, we got to ask, how much would you sell a kid for? $250 seems like the going rate.
I'm taking $250 minimum. She hit the number on the nose.
Yeah.
For a human life.
Yeah, $250?
Yeah, because it goes down. Because if like the more the kid ages, like if he's like 12, I'll give you $100,000. Give you $100,000.
Give you $50 and that Hormel's chili coupon back.
For a 15-year-old, goes down. Yeah, $50K. No, yeah. No. I need a raise.
Because you need to build it. Yeah, it's like by the time they get older, then it's just like a pound dog.
It's like a car. It's like a car. Like the amount of miles it has on it. You know what I mean? The mother also claims that both Taylor and a female companion began calling her son by his name without having been told it.
Oh! That's pretty bad. What's one thing you could say to a kid that would be creepier than knowing its name without being told?
Like me, you smell good? That's weird. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
What about you?
Are those size 3 shoes you're getting?
Going wearing the same shoes as him?
You look like you taste good.
Jesus Christ. The mother claims that Taylor followed her out to the parking lot where she proceeded to offer more money for her child. Once in the parking lot, Taylor began screaming, saying if she wouldn't take $250,000 for him, then she would give her $500,000 because she wanted him and she was going to take him, the statement says.
Oh!
You get what?
Like 500? I'm listening. You know, that's where I stop my cart. And I go, let me see the bag.
You got to pretend to be a good parent. Like, wait a minute, lady, you're crazy. 500,000.
You said five? That's crazy. Give her 750? Going once?
You start playing hardball.
Going twice? Can you do 750?
500. Got a baby. People walking in, they're even like, what are you talking about? Surveillance video from Walmart seemingly confirmed the incident, the Messenger reports. Taylor said that he was the perfect fit and she had been wanting to buy a baby for a long time now, the advert said, according to NBC News. She has not been indicted and it's unclear if she has an attorney.
Let's guess the race of this woman. White.
The fuck out of here. A Mexican lady wants to add. No way, dude.
These are white lady things to say.
It's Illuminati.
I wanted him. I was going to take him. Knew his name. Only a white woman knows the name of other children. I've never learned a kid's name in my life.
You don't know kids, but you're pretty good at talking to them. You're pretty good at, like, yeah.
Yeah, I like to talk to them, but I have no idea what their names are, and I don't think I should. I think every time my friends come over, if I have a kid, they should be like, what was his name again? I'm like, good job not thinking about him now.
All right. Wallace M.F. Bowers.
Oh, we got to hold on. I got to start this guy. This guy is a fucking legend.
Legend.
One of the craziest guys I've ever heard of. Wallace motherfucking Bowers.
Oh, I thought, honestly, when you put it, I thought that was like a middle name.
No,
like,
no, it's motherfucking Bowers.
Oh, Milton
we're gonna hear
Farrell
this guy.
Or some shit.
You can start it off. I'll hit it in a minute.
Wallace M.F. Bowers, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Wallace Bowers was sentenced Friday to 5 years in prison after his 18th drunk driving conviction.
Oh! 18th Hall of Fame, Barry Bonds.
Dude, get out of here. 18th DUI, dude.
This is my question. What do you think he's drinking?
I think it's
Beer?
I think he's pounding beers.
I think it's beer. And then it's like open care, open container. Like every cup holder. Like you go in the back, he's reaching for something, you're just hitting aluminum.
Yeah.
Like a sea of cans in the back. He's like, where's my phone?
His excuse is always, I'm just going to the recycling plant. Like, sure, you have loose cans. I'm going recycling.
I'll bag them. I'll bag them. Man, I got to bag them right now. I'll bag them there.
You don't tell me where I'm going to bag my cans.
You fill it from carpet to seat.
Got any more Bush Light?
That's definitely in my head, the beer he's drinking. Yeah. It's not nothing, like IPAs.
No.
It's not an IPA move. Bowers, 74, had a valid driver's license when he was arrested January 8th after crashing into a power pole on the city's east side. He pleaded no contest Friday to operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. 10th or more offense. Two other counts were dismissed. Defense attorney Steven Johnson noted Bowers is a Vietnam War U.S. war veteran on disability with PTSD and other health issues. The isolation and stress due to the pandemic exacerbated his situation.
I mean, it makes sense. My only question is, what's his excuse for the other 17 DUIs?
He's like, look, I like to get drunk and I like to drive. Okay? It's my two favorite things to do. I'm a Vietnam War vet. Get out of the way.
I was driving drunk when I was killing goddamn Vietnamese 60 years ago, and you never said anything. Saul, I'm a cop. I just pulled you over. What's your go-to excuse for getting out of a Dewey?
My go-to excuse, and I've used this excuse before, just I'm sleepy. And I don't know if it's my face, but I should have been pinched twice.
Yeah.
Drunk out of my fucking mind. And then, like, young. And then he was like, oh, I'm just sleepy, officer. He's like, you look like you don't get pussy. And he just lets me go. Both times.
You sad, pussy-less little man.
Yeah, that's really
get
what
your
happened.
Sleepy, dry dick home.
Yeah, 100%.
I did a, I'll start dropping credits.
What do you mean?
Normally, I'll just work in that I'm a comedian.
Fuck.
And it's worked twice.
Has it?
Yeah, one was when I wasn't when I was just a little tiny buzz, like four beers.
Okay.
Which isn't much for me,
no.
Definitely.
0.07.
Yeah. And I get pulled over in San Francisco because it was like San Francisco will just have like a freeway going to a city street.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just be like going like 60 into 40. And he goes, why are you going fast? And I was like, oh, I was just coming back from headlining the San Francisco Punchline. I was just throwing out that it was headline. It wasn't headline. It was featuring. And he goes, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, you know, I just came here from, I was on a show on Hulu and sometimes with Bert. And I just kept saying shit. And then, you know, Bert, oh, yeah. Bert Kreischer, I opened for him. So, yeah, you know, just came out here. And it got out of it.
It's going to backfire you one of these days. Like, I hate comedy. Fuck.
I'm more into dramas. I regret everything that I've done, Bauer said before sentencing, noting that the stress led to an alcoholism relapse after being clean for 10 years. So the last 10 years didn't get anything. Must have got those last 17.
All right, time to stop. Time to clean it up. It's been 17.
He's 64. In issuing the sentence, Judge John Zukowski thanked Wallace for his service, but said that wouldn't matter to the victim of a drunk driving crash if someone were hurt in such an incident. Zukowski noted Bauer's sentence after his last conviction. I wanted to know, what did you get in your last case? It was 4 years. My dad would have said, well, when you do the same thing wrong, then the punishment should be bigger the next time. So it's going to be 5 years this time, the judge said. Nice little saying from his father. What's a saying your parents told you that you remember this day?
Really random, because my dad, he got shot in the stomach by cops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real
Mexico
random.
Mexico or America?
In America, just being an illegal immigrant. So he had a scar from here to here. So I'm thinking in my head he was going to go fuck the police. He'll go, some cops are bad. Not all cops are bad. Which I'm like, to this day, I'm like, nah, dude.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know. That's literally in his head, not all cops are bad. I just don't think he wanted to reflect like bad against cop, but I still, not a good taste in my mouth.
No. Especially, if he wasn't even doing much, he got shot. Mine was always, never show up to a party empty-handed.
That's actually helps.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's actually very helpful.
And then never leave the party with whatever you brought.
That makes sense. That's classy.
Yeah, it's just classy.
Yeah, you could just get blackout drunk, do coke, but I left the 12 pack.
Yeah, I left everything there for you.
Not
I didn't
here.
Do anything. Because I've seen some guys, you know, that bring a 30 rack. It's normally they're younger. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe in your teens, but I've seen an adult do it where he brought over like a 20-pack of beer and then ended up taking like six home.
The beauty of being a comic now is that we get like sometimes we get free stuff. So like I've been bringing like bottles of tequila that I didn't purchase over to parties.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, yeah, here you go. Yeah, hey, look at me being good.
Nosotros. It's Nosotros tequila. I got it when I did a show. Wisconsin law now requires driver's license to be revoked with a fourth DUI conviction. If the previous conviction was within 15 years. But in this case, Bauer's last conviction was in 2011 before the new law went into effect in 2018. So he had a valid driver's license when he got behind the wheel. Jesus. My man had 17 DUIs and still had a valid driver's license.
That's insane. As soon as you get past 4 or 5, I know people who just, they can't ever drive again.
I also love that he was like, he's like coherent enough to want to keep renewing his license, but not coherent enough not to be drunk. He's like, I don't want to drive without a license. That would be wrong.
It's just look at his license. He's drunk in the license picture. He's like, wah.
I used to do that for my school IDs. I would get super high so that when they showed a picture of it, I just kind of looked like him.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Very strategic. Mm-hmm.
According to the criminal complaint, Bowers was most recently sentenced to 4 years in prison. God damn, son. In 2011 for a Marathon County case. The criminal complaint notes 17 prior convictions for arrests on. When do you think his first DUI was?
This is like when all he released his hours right here. Yeah. His comedy albums. 17 of them.
He had a prolific year. We'll go through them right now. It all started in January 24th, 1988. And I'm guessing this is in Wisconsin. I'm guessing they really weren't caring about DUIs and stuff before then.
He had to have been fucked up to get a DUI.
If you got an old school DUI, you had to be like at a red light on top of a person asleep at the wheel.
You're crashed into an apartment building asleep at the wheel, asking like, I'm trying to order Jack in the Box.
Yeah, normally they'll be like, just walk it off.
Yeah,
William. His first one was on January 24th, 1988, and look at what he does in 1993.
Killed it.
February 7th, 1993, DUI. March 12th, 1993. DUI.
Round two.
Dude, that was less than a month later. May 23rd, 1993. DUI. July 8th, 1993.
When you think it's over, it's not.
It's, dude, this is in the same year. May 23rd, 1993. July 8th, 1993. April 17th, 1994. December 2nd, 1994. August 13th, 1994. July 31st, 1996. Took a little time off. Got sober. Got better. Went back, went back right to it. September 23rd, 1996. August 27th, 1997. June 13th, 1998. May 3rd, 2000. January 1st, 2000. April 14th, my birthday, 2003.
This one's for Steve.
That one was okay. That was a gift for
good
me.
Good boy.
July 12th, 2005, and October 1st, 2011. Bam.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Like, even if you got blackout drunk that many times, it's a little rough.
But 1993 is a strong year, bro.
No one ever stopped him.
They stopped him, but they're like, ah.
They stopped him to let him get home.
How many cars? That's a lot of cars in 93.
Well, I don't know if he crashed everyone. He just got a Dewey.
He had to keep, all right.
You had to keep switching cars, too, because I imagine if you're working in this little town in Wisconsin, you're going to be like, there's that one. Because I doubt it's a good car if you're that drunk.
Either get sober or you develop a relationship as the drunk that just drives.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. They're just like, God damn it, we got to pull this fucking guy over again. But, wow. Well.
All right, and we're going to do a new update for that ass. That's where we look back at one of the crimes that we did on World on Drugs and see that they're still fucking shit up. This one's the CJNG, Cartel Jalisco New Generation. One of our all-time favorite guys here. Our all-time favorite
craziest group of people on
Earth
right now.
Craziest groups of human beings I've ever found. They're starting to get attacked pretty good. Right now, their cartel boss, El Mencho's bitter enemy, was just arrested in Mexico. Eric Valencia Salazar, a.k.a. L85, founded a rival cartel called the New Plaza and waged war against the CJNG and El Mencho.
Jesus.
He was just arrested, and he was the co-founder of the Jalisco New Generation cartel.
Oh, so then they split off?
Yep.
What?
So they split off.
and they split. He splits off after he was arrested, about in 2012. Who later broke away from the group and reportedly founded a rival cartel to wage war against them. Eric Salazar was detained by Mexican authorities early Monday morning, although his arrest wasn't announced until later that evening. Valencia Salazar allegedly ran the New Plaza Cartel, a splinter group of the CJNG, primarily based in Jalisco, and was one of the most wanted fugitives in Mexico. Authorities discovered Valencia Salazar in the town of Tapalapa,
Jalisco,
with two associates, weapons, and approximately 1,000 fentanyl pills and 750 grams of methamphetamines.
Fuck. Not what that. Well, 1,000 fentanyl pills is still a lot of fentanyl, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Those are those blue ones with the M's on them.
Yeah, shit. Whatever.
I remember those. The U.S. State Department placed a $5 million bounty for information leading to his capture in 2017 and is believed to be seeking extradition. Valencia Salazar's criminal career began in 2003, according to the U.S. indictment against him.
Valencia Salazar was allegedly a member of the now-defunct Millennial Cartel. After a series of high-profile captures and deaths, the Millennial Cartel fractioned into smaller groups around 2010. According to one headed by Valencia Salazar, a current CJNG leader, Nemesio Osegura, alias El Mencho, the group would eventually take on the Jalisco New Generation Cartel moniker and waged war against various cartels from control of the region. In 2010, authorities arrested Valencia Salazar in the Jalisco state capital of Guadalajara. Mexican authorities at the time alleged that he was involved in the massacre of 35 members of the rival Zetas cartel, whose bodies were left in two trucks below an underpass the year before.
Nice.
Jesus.
The arrest sparked one of the most dramatic days in Guadalajara's history. Cartel enforcers hijacked dozens of vehicles, buses, and trucks, then set them on fire around the city to create roadblocks in a failed attempt to rescue Valencia Salazar. The CJNG later left banners around the city asking for forgiveness and that it was just a reaction for messing with a colleague from the CJNG who are only dedicated to working on our business, caring for and maintaining the tranquility of the state of Jalisco.
They said sorry?
So that's what they kind of do. They started, the CJNG started as a group saying, we want to stop corruption. We want to stop the government. We want to stop these cartels. And what we really want to stop doing is getting people kidnapped.
But they're doing a lot of that, though.
Yeah. I'm guessing once you get a taste of that cocaine money, then you go, okay, hey, we still got to, you know, we still got to fight for ourselves to keep alive. And then you end up burning cars, buses, and
I'm
to create.
I'm sorry. I was just goofing.
No problems, man. Hey, come on. Hey. Who hasn't had one day where they roadblocked the city with bowling
pins? How do you roadblock the city, blow stuff up, and then just give it someone a noogie after? Ah, we were just kidding.
We had fun.
No, we were.
Valencia Salazar went on to serve 5 years in a Mexican prison before controversially being released on a technicality in December 2017. While he was behind bars, the CJNG under El Mencho's stewardship went on to become arguably one of the most powerful Mexican drug cartels on the planet, alongside the rival Sinaloa cartel.
Fuck. Oh, my God. It's unclear exactly why Salazar split from the CJNG, but a popular rumor commonly repeated in Mexican press is that his former partner, El Mencho, was actually the one responsible for his 2012 arrest. But what is certain is that Salazar's release in 2017 led to one of the bloodiest periods in Jalisco's history. In 2018, the New Plaza Cartel appeared primarily in Guadalajara, allegedly headed by Salazar and another former CJNG operative named Enrique Sanchez Martinez, alias El Chulo.
That's a good one. That's a good nickname.
El Chulo, the cute one?
Is that what that means?
Yeah, El Chulo means the cute one.
I bet he was pretty good looking. Little cutie. Little handsome man setting fires everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a pretty boy setting fires.
Yeah, he's just like, stupid. Cute guy. Well, let him go. He's kind of cute.
Over the following 2 years, a series of torture houses and mass graves were discovered in Guadalajara that were reportedly connected to the war between CJNG and the New Plaza. In 2019, authorities discovered two grave sites close to each other, allegedly operating by the New Plaza, one with the remains of roughly 50 people and the second with over 100.
In 2020, authorities discovered a separate site allegedly used by CJNG with remains of 131 bodies, the most in Jalisco state history. Between 2018 and 2020, Jalisco accounted for over 20% of all disappearances in Mexico.
Woof.
Jesus Christ, dude. Hey, all that stuff we were saying earlier, but we're fine. I love you, CJNG and New Plaza.
I apologize for
you. I'm 100%, dude. They're not fucking around. We're just reporting the news.
Yeah, we're just reporting
the news. Much respect. Because I will be in Rosarito and I want some tacos. We're just coming in, baby.
I think we're going to go. All right, everybody. That was the episode, Saul. As always, thanks for coming in. We think we're going to have you co-hosting this bad boy with me
now on. Baby. Let's go.
He's on. We're going to start changing this thing. Want to give a shout out to West Coast Gardens Weed, the best weed you can buy. If your cannabis club doesn't have it, make sure they get it.
Request it, because we've been, you know, I've sampled a little
bit. Yeah. If you want to smoke big smoke like the boys here on this show, get yourself some West Coast Gardens weed. Shout out to the Comedy Store, Comedy Store Records, Comedy Store Podcast Network, Tony Gidley, John Sosis, my man, Saul Trujillo. See you guys on the Flippity Flop.